This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 5:07 and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition, and it's another installment of Popit Popit Parliament where we take you through the highlights from Day One Rakyat. So today we're starting off with this from Housing and Local Government Ministers Zuraida Kamarudin about increasing the quota of female firefighters, because right now only 5% of firefighters are female.
Ketika ini, di seluruh negara, Jabatan Bomba dan Penyelamatan punya anggota sebanyak 14,400. Percentage daripada kalangan wanita hanyalah mencapai hampir 5% sahaja. Tapi Alhamdulillah, di peringkat pegawai tinggi, mencapai hampir 10%. Jadi, memandangkan kerja bomba ini adalah dipersepsikan atau dilihat sebagai satu kerja untuk orang lelaki, dan saya lihatkan bahawa ada banyak-banyak jurusan kerja di dalam jabatan bomba itu, dari segi skop kerja-kerja untuk kaunseling kepada mangsa-mangsa trauma wanita dan kanak-kanak, kerja-kerja memberikan pertolongan kecemasan kepada wanita dan kanak-kanak, kerja-kerja program kesedaran pencegah kebakaran, kerja-kerja program pencegahan kebakaran di dapur untuk suri rumah, dan juga kerja-kerja demonstrasi pencegahan kebakaran untuk suri rumah. Jadi, dan kerja-kerja administratif.
So that was the minister saying essentially that opportunities for growth within the fire department are there for women, but that they lie predominantly in the more administrative positions like counselling and training. And the minister also talked about possible suggestions to attract more women to this field.
Jadi saya juga memberi panduan kepada Jabatan Bomba agar melonggarkan kelayakan-kelayakan, ujian-ujian yang lebih keras itu, kalau tidak untuk buat kerja lasak, jadi tidak perlulah mereka mengambil ujian-ujian yang seperti orang lelaki. Yang keduanya juga, saya minta untuk buat pengambilan khusus untuk wanita. Dengan adanya satu pengambilan khusus untuk orang perempuan, kemungkinannya akan menarik perhatian orang perempuan untuk datang menjadi rekrut kepada program-program latihan kita. So, jadi antara dua perkara. Dan saya juga telah menetapkan kota untuk bomba untuk mencapai, walaupun sekarang ada dalam 1,000 lebih kekosongan, kalau saya isi semua 1,000 tu perempuan pun tak cukup 30%. Tapi so namun demikian, kita akan cuba tingkatkan daripada 5% mungkin ke 10% dahulu, dan dari situ mungkin kita akan tingkat dari masa ke semasa.
That was Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin talking about increasing the participation of women in the fields of firefighting and enforcement. So what do you make of these suggestions, and would you like to see more female firefighters? And for that matter, what other jobs are maybe more associated with men, and what will it take to change that? Because I do have to say that I don't find the 5% of female firefighters in the workforce being a surprising number. And it does continue to be a profession that I think many people associate with men. And that tends to be true for jobs that require more physicality in general, I think, and where you face danger. So what will it take to change that perception? What is it actually going to take to up that quota? We're expecting it to, or hoping that it will double from 5% to 10%. So let us know your suggestions and thoughts. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. So moving on from that, former de facto law minister Dr. Liu Vui-kyong posed a question to the Health Ministry about procedures to keep the procurement processes during COVID-19 fair and transparent. Because according to Dr. VK Liu, the Health Minister himself was profiting from the procurement of these medical supplies.
Saya minta penjelasan lanjut daripada pihak kementerian. Nah, sekiranya proses pengolahan kit ujian COVID-19 ini, Tuan Speaker, yang bernilai sehingga 330 juta ringgit Malaysia yang dikaitkan kepada klinik Adam Babah milik yang berhormat Menteri Kesihatan. Mungkin itulah sebab Menteri Kesihatan lari daripada Dewan untuk menjawab soalan ini. Sila penjelasan.
So as Dr. Vicky Liu pointed out, Health Minister Datuk Seri Dr. Adam Babah wasn't in the hall to answer the question. So instead, Deputy Minister Datuk Aaron Ago Dagang did say that all COVID-19 related medical assets were obtained through emergency purchase protocols approved by the Finance Ministry. He also informed the Members of Parliament on how much had been spent so far on containment efforts for COVID-19.
Kalau kita melihat jumlah perbelanjaan setakat bulan ini pada semua aset-aset ubat-ubat dan sebagainya, kerajaan telah membelanjakan 650 juta. Ini daripada peruntukan yang dibagi kerajaan dalam 1 bilion lebih. Jadi kita masih ada baki untuk masa-masa akan datang.
On a related note, vaccines for COVID-19 were discussed. Parit MP Datuk Muhammad Nizar bin Haji Zakaria wanted to know whether the government had already agreed to elect Pharma Niaga and Duo Pharma to bottle vaccines in Malaysia, what the criteria was to select these companies, and why there hadn't been an open tender process. So here is Minister of Science, Technology and Innovations Khairi Jamaluddin with his response.
Keputusan pemilihan syarikat bagi tujuan fill and finish ini tidak tertakluk kepada Duo Pharma dan Pharma Niaga sahaja. Ya, mereka adalah antara pilihan syarikat yang sekarang ini mempunyai keupayaan untuk melaksanakan fill and finish. Namun demikian, pemilihan syarikat mestilah dilakukan dan juga berdasarkan kepada keupayaan untuk mengilang produk pharmaceutical tempatan yang telah memenuhi keperluan amalan perkilangan baik GMP mengikut Standard Pharmaceutical Inspection Cooperation Scheme. Dan pemilihan pengilang yang telah memenuhi standard ini sangat penting bagi memastikan aspek fill and finish ini dapat dilaksanakan secara selamat. Walau apapun, keputusan untuk melantik syarikat-syarikat tersebut mestilah memenuhi syarat yang akan bakal ditetapkan oleh National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Authority ataupun NPRA di bawah Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia. Dan sudah pasti pelantikan ini akan mengikut tata cara kerajaan yang sedia ada.
The minister was also asked about Malaysia's participation and involvement in human trials for the COVID-19 vaccine.
Ya, memang betul Malaysia pernah menawarkan diri kepada negara luar seperti China bagi kajian klinikal vaksin COVID-19. Walau bagaimanapun, semasa proses rundingan sedang dijalankan, terdapat beberapa syarikat yang telah menarik diri disebabkan bilangan kes COVID-19 yang semakin menurun di Malaysia. Untuk kita menjalankan clinical trials, kita memerlukan bilangan kes yang banyak. Sebab itulah syarikat-syarikat China membuat clinical trials mereka di negara seperti UAE dan Brazil di mana didapati ada puluhan ribu kes COVID-19. Tapi oleh kerana kejayaan kerajaan Malaysia membendung penularan wabak COVID-19 ini, kita sudah tidak layak untuk menjalankan clinical trials.
So that was Minister of Science, Technology and Innovations Khairi Jamaluddin with some updates on the COVID-19 vaccine and Malaysia's involvement. And even though we're not involved in the clinical trials, the minister did say that MOSTI is facilitating science diplomacy and strategic collaborations with countries that have the capabilities to produce the vaccine. So again, we're in Popit Parliament today, and we heard earlier from Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin talking about increasing the participation of women when it comes to firefighting and enforcement. Right now, I think 5% of the firefighting workforce is female, so we're looking to double that to 10%. What do you think it's going to take? And is there still a perception that some jobs are primarily the domain of men, right? What is it going to take to change that, to encourage participation? What are your thoughts? Do you work in one of those jobs yourself? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with more Popit Parliament in just a bit. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:17. You're listening to the evening edition with Lynn, and this is still Popit Parliament, where we take you through the questions of the day in Dewan Rakyat. So earlier, we talked about female firefighters, the COVID-19 vaccine, and procurement procedures for COVID-19 medical supplies. And now we're moving on to news on liquor licenses. So according to Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa, the halting of liquor licenses is only a temporary measure.
Sebenarnya tidak ada sebarang penggantungan lesen penjualan arak. Yang ada ialah pembekuan pengeluaran lesen-lesen yang baharu bagi dalam kawasan Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur. Maka Dewan Bandaraya berpendapat adalah wajar dalam keadaan kita sedang meneliti apakah kaedah-kaedah penambahbaikan yang boleh dilakukan demi kepentingan awam, maka lesen-lesen baru tidak dikeluarkan sehinggalah satu garis panduan yang lebih kemas dan lebih teratur dapat kita adakan. Malaysia yang berhormat, mutakhir ini lesen arak dijual dengan terlalu mudah. Hatta Singapura menghadkan masa arak itu dijual. Hatta di England, hanya premis tertentu saja boleh menjual arak. Mutakhir ini kelihatan terdapat di setengah-setengah kedai runcit pun boleh beli arak. Arak boleh dibeli pada masa yang tidak terhad. Saya fikir ini perlulah dikaji dan diteliti semula.
The minister also said that fewer than 100 businesses have applied for new liquor licenses and that the window for this renewal of license is still open.
Lesen-lesen yang diperbaharui setakat ini yang ada dikeluarkan oleh kerajaan itu dahulu 2096. Tamatnya bulan September. Sekarang belum lagi bulan September. Setakat ini yang dah pohon nak diperbaharui baru ada 200 lebih. Dan mereka masih-masih lagi mempunyai masa kerana semua lesen-lesen itu masih belum pun tamat. Berkaitan dengan lesen baru, cuma ada 69 permohonan lesen baru. Itu pun baru submit dan masih boleh dipertimbangkan. Tapi yang penting apabila lesen baru nak dikeluarkan, kita ingin memastikan garis panduan baru yang lebih teratur.
That was Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa on the subject of liquor licenses. And this is something that's been in the news recently because I think there has been a collection of groups of people who have been saying that they need this situation reviewed because it is costing them business. What are your thoughts on liquor licenses and the renewal of it, whether or not it does need to be reviewed? Again, you can let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. Meanwhile, moving on to the topic of international trade, Datuk Lim Ban Hong, who is the Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, shared some figures on the amount of foreign investment that Malaysia has attracted as a result of the US-China trade war.
MAIDA telah berjaya menarik sejumlah 32 projek dengan pelaburan berjumlah 17.5 bilion ringgit Malaysia, di mana 28 projek dengan pelaburan sejumlah 8.36 bilion ringgit Malaysia telah diluluskan dan 4 projek dengan pelaburan bernilai 9.14 bilion ringgit Malaysia sedang dalam proses penilaian. Projek-projek tersebut akan dilaksanakan di Negeri Selangor, Johor, Pulau Pinang, Negeri Sembilan, Melaka dan Perak. Daripada 28 projek yang telah diluluskan ini, 10 projek bernilai 2.67 bilion ringgit Malaysia adalah dari syarikat negara China yang mewujudkan sekurang-kurangnya 1,131 peluang pekerjaan. Selain itu, 2 projek yang telah diluluskan adalah dari negara Jepun dengan jumlah pelaburan 188.18 juta dan 206 peluang pekerjaan akan diwujudkan.
That was Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, Datuk Lim Ban Hong, with a report on how much foreign investment Malaysia has received after ongoing US-China trade tensions. So our final pick from today's sitting is to do with the shortage of low-cost houses for low-income workers in Kuala Lumpur, who often have to stay in small partition rooms in shop houses, again often in very cramped, overcrowded conditions. To this point, Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa says that DBKL plans to launch a new initiative called Rumah Residensi Prihatin.
Untuk itu, Kementerian bercadang untuk melancarkan satu program baru iaitu membina rumah prihatin, iaitu rumah-rumah yang dibina dengan harga di bawah daripada RM200,000, iaitu rumah-rumah 3 bilik yang mampu dibeli oleh golongan yang berpendapatan rendah.
So those are units that will be built for purchase. DBKL is also proposing 2 other programs for those wishing to rent council homes and micro homes.
Dewan Menara Raya sedang membina hampir 2,000 unit council homes yang disediakan untuk disewa dengan kadar sewa kira-kira antara RM350 sebulan ke RM850 sebulan bagi council homes. Manakala bagi micro homes adalah rumah-rumah kecil yang disewa pada kadar kira-kira 100 bulan. Dan ini juga sedang dibina dan dijangkakan kira-kira 1,000 unit micro homes harap dapat diadakan dalam tempoh 5 tahun.
That was Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa announcing initiatives for low-cost homes that can be bought for under 200,000 ringgit or rented from anywhere between 100 and 800 ringgit per month. And that wraps it up for today's Popit Popit Parliament. Again, we've been discussing, as is usual, I think, with this show, a wide array of subjects, including liquor licenses. We heard from the FT Minister on how the halting of licenses is only a temporary measure, but that there are perhaps there are needs perhaps to relook at tightening the controls in general. We also heard from Zuraida Kamarudin, who is the Housing and Local Government Minister, discussing increasing the participation of women when it comes to firefighting and enforcement, and doing that by training, but also by loosening, I think, some of the more strict tests that are required for you to qualify. I think earlier she mentioned things, she used the word kasa, and I think it's to do with perhaps the more physical tasks and actions, because she's thinking that the opportunities would be more in counselling and training. So what are your thoughts then on trying to increase that number, create a quota of female-only hiring for the Bomba, and also on tightening or liquor licenses as a whole? We have a couple of messages. So first of all, this from Leong, who says, for employment or the fact of other matters, my view is that it should be based on merit instead of gender. So quota of female or male doesn't make sense. And yeah, I think in this case, because the ratio is so large, you know, it's 95% male, 5% female, it makes some sense that they're looking to try and up that a bit, especially considering, I think, the issue of unemployment and or job loss that's becoming a huge thing. But the flip side of that is that we're still looking at roles for women in the administrative positions only, and not necessarily in the more active parts of firefighting. So I agree. I do think that it makes sense as a program of sorts. But if you're talking about merit and if you're talking about equal opportunity, then A, the quota is part of that. The other thing is maybe there shouldn't necessarily be a limit on what kinds of jobs you are encouraged to do. MZ, on the subject of liquor licenses, says, I'm a non-Muslim and I agree with tighter control of license. In some places in the Klang Valley, you have medical halls selling cheap alcohol. That is just mind-blowing. If you'd like to weigh in on either of those things or anything else that we covered during Popit Popit Parliament, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.